Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. Today, my guest on Piano Jazz is the brilliant pianist and composer, Jerry Allen. She's known for her original and intellectual approach to her music, and I'm sure you'll love every note. How are you, Jerry?
Very fine, thank you.
God, I haven't seen you for ages.
Well, it's wonderful to see you again.
Yes, you too. You've been around and you've been doing so much. I really don't know where to start with you, so you'll have to tell me what you're doing these days.
Well, I've been doing quite a bit of solo work. I'm really excited to have received the Guggenheim this year. And the piece that I'm going to be composing is going to be in solo context. So I'm doing a lot of solo work and finding my way in terms of the composition. And also I have a quartet I'm very excited about that features Maurice Chestnut, Kasim Overall, and Kenny Davis, my bassist. Maurice is a tap dancer.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, he's very young. He's 22 or 23 years old. My drummer as well. Both of them are in the same age range. So it's a very exciting combination of energy and with Kenny and myself, kind of stability within the context of the group. So we're having a lot of fun taking the group around to perform for young people, and it's been very exciting.
Do you have a name for it, for the group?
Well, I call it Timeline. So it's a combination of time step and the idea of that the line and the continuum of the music.
That's nice, a good name.
Well,
how do you incorporate the tap dancer? Do you keep him separate from the drums?
Well, it's interesting. We went on tour in Europe last year with the group. So we were able to kind of, you know, when you actually have the opportunity to perform, you have a chance to work out the kinks and the settings and the lighting and all of those kinds of things. But I have him set up right next to the drummer, but on the outside of the band. And he functions within the band really more as a percussionist because he's interacting in the music, you know, very intricate unison kinds of things with the drums and with me too, with unison lines. So it's a wonderful kind of thing for young people too, for children. I've taken the group into public schools and we performed at Harvard last year. I was in residency there and the young people were very excited. And we've done a number of other kinds of things like that where we've taken the group into school settings from very young to high school age, and the young people are, you know, they're able to put the visuals together with the music in a way that I think really electrifies it for them. So I enjoy this band very much. It's a lot of fun watching these generations within in the band.
I think it's great to be doing something for the kids.
Well, you have always been so supportive of, you know, young players that are up and coming. And I remember early on, you were very supportive of me. You have always done that.
Oh, me?
Oh, yes. You've always, been reaching out to give a hand to young talent.
Well, you know, I think trying to get young people on the show is to really show everybody that there's plenty of great young players. So anyway, I could go on this subject for hours, and you probably could too, but I would love to hear you play something. It's been a while.
Oh, thank you.
So,
well, this piece is called Avatar, and it's inspired by Alice Coltrane.
Oh, I loved Alice. What a great woman.
Yes.
So, can't wait to hear it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, what a beautiful piece.
Thank you.
Lovely. But I'm thinking now, as you go on, I guess you're playing it for the audience, ideas will come to you. They do for me. I play a piece, and next time I play it, it's quite different because I've heard some other things to do.
Yes.
Do you do that?
Oh, very much so. That's why it's so nice to be able to have a band that you can keep for a period of time where you have, you know, you guys are growing on each other and you know what the other person is thinking sometimes, and that kind of comfort zone. And then the music really starts to evolve and you can trust each other and lots of new things can happen.
That's a great thing about jazz. You don't have to read from a sheet and take directions.
Right.
You're doing your own thing the whole time, which is wonderful. Well, how about another piece? This is an interesting title, Brilliant Veracity. I read somewhere you were talking about Donald Walden.
Yes.
Sax player.
Yes. A very great tenor saxophonist from Detroit, Michigan, who was very much, as Alice Coltrane was from, also from Detroit. Donald was a mentor to many of my generation of players. People like, Kenny Garrett and many of us, Bob Hurst, benefited a lot from Donald's musical generosity over the years. And he was an aficionado of Thelonious Monk's music and spent time with Monk as a younger player. So he would bring us, very accurate, Monk arrangements. And we would know the chord changes would be right and the melodies and all of those kinds of things. But we just lost him recently. And this is a piece that is dedicated to him.
Well, go ahead. I'd love to hear it.
Thank you.
That's a lovely piece.
Thank you.
I love that key, D flat, right?
Yes.
There's something about that key. I think it's the vibrations. Mm. It's one of my favorite keys.
That's interesting. I think colors, too, the keys have a sense to, they can be visual as well. But that's a vibration, too, though, isn't it, color?
Yeah, it's funny. I guess I talked to one or two musicians who feel that way, that a certain key has a certain color to it. Mm. But that's one of my definite favorites. Well, there's more to come with my guest, Jerry Allen. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR.
Well, it'd be wonderful to hear one of your compositions. I had a couple of chances to play mine. Now I would love to hear some of your work.
All right. Oh, this is one I wrote at the Hickory House. And at the time, Jack Robbins, the music publisher, was always kind of nagging me to write a tune. So finally I decided I had to, so I came up with this. It's called Stranger in a Dream. Mm-hmm. And Jack took the tune and gave it to the guy who wrote the lyric for Tifa 2, Irving Caesar.
Oh, yes.
And it's really quite a nice lyric, although I must sadly say I haven't got anybody to sing it yet.
That has to happen soon.
and I've got to get better at getting things around. And if I sang it, that would be the end of the tune. So I'd better just play it. So here goes. Thank you.
It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you about the theme. Da da da.
The theme.
Yes. Yes. And the way you take the theme and lace it through the piece is just lovely.
Well, it sort of fell together and I'm stuck with it. You know, I'm dying to do what we did one time when we made the record Date. It's a free piece.
Yes.
What Alec Wilder used to like to call an aleatory piece. In other words, no form or anything like that. I really love doing that, and I'm sure you're very, very good at it. So we'll just do anything we choose, right?
Okay.
I loved that. There were a couple of nice little themes in there, coming and going.
Yes, there were moments of sheer expansion.
Yes.
I always enjoy these free moments with you.
Well, I'm glad because I enjoy everything you do, and although we're listening to each other, we're really not getting in each other's way.
Yes.
At least I don't think we are. Well, we've got more coming up with Jerry Allen. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. I would really love to hear you play another solo. On one of your records, I heard this gorgeous arrangement of Lush Life. Would you feel like doing that?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, good. I love that tune. Thank you. I love that tune, and I used to play that at the Hickory House. When Billy Strayhorn would be sitting at the bar, he used to come in and sit by himself, and I think that's one of the reasons I wanted to learn that tune, because he was there.
Oh, wow.
And
that must have been so exciting, just that whole experience of the Hickory House, to have the composer there, you know, to be enjoying your performance. But what was that like, those times there at the Hickory House? The experience of just the whole ambiance of that time and having your peers there, you know, sharing each other's talents.
Well, it was wonderful for me because I used to enjoy having people come and sit in, and a lot of musicians would come by after their gig and sit in, like Tony Scott or Bucky Pizzarelli, and Duke was there all the time.
Wow.
So I would ask him to sit in and play with the trio.
How exciting.
He was such a good friend and so thoroughly nice. He would always agree and he would play. And one night he played a piece that was very unfamiliar to me, and I said to him afterwards, "What was the name of that piece?" And he said, "It's called Night Creature." And I remember afterwards seeing the sheet music. I think he must have been writing it while he was there at the club. Anyway, it was so wonderful having people like him and Oscar Peterson. And there was even a night when I had a bass player named Ben Tucker, and he evidently was a friend of Martin Luther King because he came in one night.
Wow.
And yes, of course, I was quite flabbergasted by that.
I had heard that he was a fan of jazz.
Oh, yes.
That's very exciting.
Definitely.
To know that he was there.
No, it was a very exciting time for me. I was there for 10 years, and Mary Lou Williams followed me, and I used to come in and hear her. And, well, I could go on forever talking about that place.
I have a question about her. Now, you bring Mary Lou Williams up. That wonderful photograph, I've always wanted to ask you this, that of you with all of those great musicians, the Great Day in
Harlem,
photograph. You and Mary Lou are whispering to each other, or maybe you weren't whispering, but there's a conversation going on in the picture. I've always wanted to know if you remember what were you talking about.
Oh, it was nothing deep. It was just probably, where are you working now? Or I hadn't seen her for a couple of weeks, and we might have been talking about her bass player, Ronnie Boykins, or it was just something very casual, I know. Or else we were saying, why doesn't the man hurry up so we can go and have a drink? That's probably more like it. So, but being next to her was nice because she was a friend. And I made a record of some of her tunes. And I could play one for you.
Oh, that would be great.
I did all of her tunes that I knew by her, but then I thought I would have one that I wrote myself, sort of as a tribute or something like that. And so I wrote this tune, which was called Threnody, which actually is a highfalutin word for a sad song, but I'm sort of a word snob, so I called it Threnody. Shall I play a little?
Oh, please do.
Thank you.
Oh, that was fantastic. What a beautiful piece of writing.
Thank you.
It's gorgeous.
You know, Elvis Costello, of all people, put a lyric to that.
Oh, wow.
And it's very nice, and he sang it at Tanglewood when we did our show there. So I just wrote him. I hope he's going to keep it in his repertoire.
Yeah, that's not an easy melody. It moves around a lot there, too.
Yeah, it does, but he somehow managed to get a very interesting lyric in there. So,
well, I hope to hear that.
Hope Kimmy Hill keep doing it. Well, there's more music in a minute with Jerry Allen. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR.
That Trinity piece you played was so inspiring that I'd like to play a piece that I wrote for Mary Lou.
Oh, I would love to hear it. What's it called?
It's called Thank You, Madam.
Okay, go ahead. Thank you. Oh, that's a lovely piece. I would like to have the sheet music on that one. Have you got a spare?
Oh, certainly. Thank you.
It's got such beautiful harmony. You have a way of voicing the chords that's very unusual. And thinking of Mary Lou, you really captured her in that tune, I think.
Wow. Well, coming from you, I'm very honored to hear that. Thank you.
I enjoyed it. And I've had such a good time with you here.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. And it's always such an honor to have a chance to play with you.
Well, thank you. And likewise with you. I think playing music and talking about it just gives me a real good feeling. And unfortunately, we only have one more tune to play, but I'm sure we'll have fun doing it. I don't know this tune, but I love the title. Another Hairdo. That has got to be a blues.
So great to hear it, the way you say the words. It's wonderful.
Well, let's do our hair.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you.
my hair is done to return.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland. Her guest today has been Jerry Allen. Join us each week at this time as Piano Jazz brings you conversation and improvisation with other outstanding artists. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assistant recording engineer Tyler Hartman, mastering engineer David Mitchell, engineering intern Dale Anderson, production coordinator David Lyon. The executive producer is Elaine Freeman. If you wish to contact us, our email address is pj@scetv.org. And our postal address is 1101 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. To find out more about the artists and music selections heard on Piano Jazz, or to listen to a recent program, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Jazz Times Magazine, now celebrating its 40th anniversary of delivering jazz news, insight, and opinion at newsstands everywhere and on the web at jazztimes.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.